Gents, how's it going?
Going great.
How y'all doing?
Okadon.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm not allowed.
That's how I'm doing.
You're not allowed to say it.
I'm not
yet.
Allowed to say it. He told me not.
Hey,
to.
Listen, we still working through those enunciation. You know, like how actors right. do the la la la.
Give it a try.
Okay. Okadon. I'm kidding. No. I'm still playing. Okadon. Is that good?
We're getting close. We're getting, that, we need a little bit of work on
just,
it.
Just, you know, try not to put an accent on it, you know.
Oh, my God, I did.
And the N at the end is not hard. It's a very soft N. It's almost like a write-off N.
So it's like the A.
Correct.
All right.
Yeah, keep practicing. We'll try it out next episode.
Yeah.
So this week, wanted to have a brief chat with y'all about, you know, we like creativity. You and I met creativity and innovation,
yes,
right?
Sir.
We like a little bit of creativity when things are new, but also we can also be very old school.
True.
Right?
True.
Old fashioned as we're getting older.
Yep.
In our age. And Matthew's getting up there too soon enough, joining the 30 club. But
hey, my man's today. Today.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have birthdays.
You're not in the age for anniversaries yet, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, no, I still got a couple more years to go. But I want to talk about a new creative idea from the NBA, which was announced a couple weeks ago. It's not new news by any stretch of the imagination. People have had time to hear about it, start digesting the information. But it's something that I don't know if y'all realize or not, but apparently it had been in conversations in the league office for the past 15 years. 15 years. Didn't know that.
15 years in the making.
15 years in the making for Commissioner Adam Silver to announce an NBA in-season tournament. And originally, they wanted the in-season tournament to coincide with the play-in concept.
Right.
Which was also new and creative.
Yes.
And at first was met with a, right? Kind of skepticism.
I loved it though.
And look what we had, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. The Miami Heat this year.
That's right.
Right? Got bounced from
What was our line? You just got to come in 10th.
Just got to come in 10th. But it was true, right? I mean, they got we bounced them from the 7th seed. They were the 7th seed.
Yeah.
In the traditional format, they would have made it. But, you know, Atlanta had to come in, do what we do, bounce them, which had to set them up for a second playing game. Which they made it and then took their run all the way to the finals.
It's RBA.
It would have been crazy, though, to have them be the first, you know, playing team to win.
Make it, right.
Like, someday that's going to happen. It's going to be.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
But that was a new concept that was met with a lot of skepticism. You know, like, some people loved it. Some people hated it. And here we are now with the next new concept. And so this is really an attempt by the league to do, from what I understand or from what I've heard them say, is that it's to better reach the international audience as the NBA game is becoming more global and looking at what soccer does, particularly is the biggest sport globally. But looking at this, you know, soccer has these in season, you know, tournaments and cups and whatnot. This is going to be done in a little bit of a different way, but we've got now the NBA Cup.
Yes.
Right. Annual NBA Cup, which is now a thing. Like, they're calling it the Cup. So, you know, basic concept. We're not, you know, folks can read about it. We're not going to dive into the minutiae, so to speak, of it. But, you know, each conference is split up. There's three groups in the West, three groups in the East, five teams each. Each team is going to play each other, you know, one time, four games. These are going to count as regular season games. So it counts towards the normal standings. All the stats count, right? And then whoever wins their group is going to go to the knockout round, right? That's group play. And then they're going to go to the knockout round. Plus, whoever is the next seed in that entire West out of all three, there's one wild card and then another wild card for the East. So then those two teams are going to go. So four teams are going to go to eight teams, going to go to the knockout round. Just going to pull it down to four. Those are single elimination games, which I love single elimination too.
NCAA
you
bracket.
Just got to show up, right?
That's right.
And then we're going to have the semifinals, which is going to happen in in Vegas, and all of those games in the knockout round, again, counts towards a regular season record, standings, stats. Semifinals counts towards a regular season, standings, stats. So there's going to be, so teams are going to start off the season with an 80-game schedule. Like, they're not going to know what those other two games are because of, depending on who makes it into this, right? So semifinals will happen in Vegas, and then there's the finals. That's the only game, the Championship Cup game, is the only game that does not count towards the regular season standing. Stats don't count towards any of the stats. Like the playing game, the stats don't count, right?
Right.
Same thing, same concept with just with this championship game. Everything else before that counts, except for the championship game. So that's the basic format. It's going to happen between November 3rd through December 9th. So it's gonna be like a month into basically the beginning of the season.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that two teams play 83 games.
We're going to get into that.
All right.
Yes.
All right.
But yes, you are correct.
Okay.
There will be an 83rd game for two teams.
Okay.
Okay. Very interesting. So any questions about the basics? Y'all got the basics?
Got the basics.
Okay. So I know we've kind of talked about in terms of wanting to do this episode, but we all heard about it. We all heard the news when it was announced. So just take me through, what was your initial reaction? And don't go too deep, because we're going to unravel this,
right,
you know, layer by layer. But just like on its surface when you heard it, like what were you thinking? What did you think to yourself?
Go ahead, sir.
Want me to go first?
Absolutely.
All right.
Only if you talk into the microphone. Yeah.
Project.
Come on, Barry.
As what? I was saying... Don't get it. The first initial reaction was, are they trying to be like soccer for real? Like, that was my first initial reaction, because it was just like, they're really going, like, I know they got the athletic trainers, and I was like, they really are taking, they're trying to go international to appeal to the international market. And I was like, I think the season should be slightly longer because of that, because that's just kind of like, you got an in-season tournament. You know America. We don't like a lot of that change. We do and we don't. It just seemed like an odd additive to it. Because it's just like, you know, some of the players ain't going to care. Now, that's just my honest opinion on that one.
Okay. Listen, when I first heard it, as in the famous words of My brother here from another, I love coloring outside the lines. And when I heard this, I was like, oh, they're coloring outside the lines. And this is going to be met with such so much skepticism. And I love anything that is initially met with that, because that's what gets people to, makes them uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But it's a change.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this concept. Like, I love the play-in tournament. When it came, I love the bubble. It was different. Mm. It wasn't status quo.
Bring it back.
So this, when I heard it, all I said was,
"Get the Birdman."
Yes, ready. Let's go. My initial thought was, "Thank God, no more load management." I won't go deep into it, but that's what I thought initially. And I was super excited to see it. I did think about the soccer angle. Makes sense. The NBA is a global game. There are, I mean, think about the level of European players that have come and taken over the game in some essence, or even just international players. Forget European. So yeah, I'm all for it.
My first reaction was, how? Like, I was like, that did, I hit the Kanye House way. Like, how are they gonna make this work in season tournament? Like, and so then when I heard Richard Jefferson announcing it in that video package, and I'm like, my brain was like that Zach Galifianakis, you know, GIF where the numbers are popping. Yeah. I'm analyzing it. I'm like, well, that's dumb. That was, I mean, that's my first reaction.
That's what I was like.
This is fucking stupid. Like, what are we doing here? Like, and I'm all for, like, I like the playing game concept, whatever. Mm. Like, I actually didn't feel like that was stupid. I thought that was actually a great way, because especially with, like, there are some good teams that are out. It's like, right, when you, especially when you used to look at the standings of the West, particularly when they were like really, really top heavy, yeah,
half a game away,
you get 10 teams down. Like those, that 10th team is often better than the 7th or 8th right, team for the East. Right. Right. So I love the concept of playing, but this, I was like, that's fucking stupid. Like, I'm just being real. It's yeah, fucking stupid. So,
I'm the odd man out here.
You're the odd man out, yeah, but
sorry,
man. We're gonna keep diving into this. So, the first thing I thought of, and I want to ask y'all about it as well, is how do you think the players, not publicly what things they've said, mm-hmm, but how do you think the players will, or how do you think they will react to this? I mean, and like, how are we going to see it play out in terms of, is this going to be something that they actually take seriously?
I think the players will react the exact same way you just told me, what you just thought. This is stupid.
Yeah.
That this is stupid, right?
Why are you editing yourself?
Because I am. I don't know.
Just say it.
Because I don't think it is. That's why.
Oh, okay.
That's what they're thinking. This is stupid, right? Especially the ones who are making bank money. Mm-hmm. The ones who are not probably will find this as an opportunity to close, you know, somewhat close those gaps.
But it won't matter if they're not playing, so.
Again, right? So it goes both ways, I think, depending on. The players that are used to load management probably find it stupid. The ones that don't, all right, cool, whatever.
Like, right? if this is...
If you're a true hooper like KD, let's go.
If this is supposed to be a competitive thing, true like... Hooper. No, but I mean, if the intent of it is to be a competitive mm-hmm. tournament, right? Like, do you think that they're going to be competitive about it?
If the incentive's right, yes.
No. Just no. Like, at the rate that we've been going and over the last few years of watching the NBA, nah. There might be the low-end teams that might take it. But low management will be a thing still. Because technically, like, I'm not trying to overstep. But technically speaking, it's just like, okay, look, we play this, say they won, and it's just like, what incentives is going to bring? Because as Americans, we're just going to be like, that don't count, man. Like, this is a cup. Like, your cup is not really valid yet. They don't have this in football. They were thinking, I know from a football standpoint, if I'm not wrong, you can correct me. I mean, if I'm wrong, please correct me, Ken. Because I think, weren't they thinking about a slight in-season tournament with that, too?
I don't remember.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, they were thinking about years ago. It's just dumb because from an American perspective, we go after that one thing every year. So that cup is like, okay, is it going to bring more to it? Because if it did, then it's like, all right, cool. Then I'd be like, all right, that's it. Sorry, I'm sounding off. It's going to be more to it. Jesus Christ, Matt. I'm messing up. All right. Let me straighten this up. For real. As like, is it going to be more incentive as into like, okay, is this going to give me the accolades for Hall of Fame or like endorsements and stuff like that? Like, I won this cup. Yay. It's like, I know they're going to have the sponsors, but what else is going to have after that? Because we're just going to be honestly just laughing at that for the first 10 years.
So that was my initial reaction as well. I was like, players aren't going to take this seriously. I don't know, I could take this shit seriously, right? And as I've kind of like sat on it for a minute, right? I'm glad we didn't talk about this right away. I'm so glad we didn't talk about this right away because I would have just came in here and been just shit on this whole thing.
You would have been
like,
I'd have been Debbie Downer here.
It would have been worse than Debbie Downer. But I think that they have the opportunity. Let's just put it this way. I don't know if they're going to execute it this way, but they have the opportunity to tap into the competitive nature and ego of the professional athlete in a way that could make this shit really fun.
Agreed.
Like they like have the
All-Star game.
Right. The All-Star game when they changed the rules about the fourth quarter, right? And the scoring and each quarter starts off and then you got to get to the plus 24 or whatever, like they made that shit competitive again when you get down to the fourth quarter. So they have the opportunity to tap into the ego of the athlete. Now, it's not going to completely curb load management or anything like that. We kind of talked a little I think both of you hit on that, right? Like when we think about load management, there's still going to be players that take off.
Of course.
Right? Right. It just might not be these games now.
Correct. Correct.
Right? It just may exactly. Not, like, they'll just build their load management around something else. Right. Right? And that's... But they were thinking about this concept, again, 15 years ago, long before load right. management was even a thing. So it's this tournament wasn't necessarily, like, created to stop load management.
Right.
Now, Matt, you bring up a good point about the incentives. I think you both hit on the incentives, right? So right now, the prize money is like $500,000 for each winning team. Now, for guys that are in the upper echelon of salary, what, you know, is $500,000 really enough to motivate them, right? Is it enough to motivate older teams? Think about this. Older teams that really are like, just want to be more focused on doing what we need to do to be ready when it comes time for playoffs versus younger up-and-coming teams that'll be like, no, we'll take this seriously because we want to prove ourselves that, like, we're here. Mm-hmm. We're here. I'm him, right? Like, right. That mindset. And the prize money is just a bonus on top.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Right? So do you think, number one, is the current incentive enough? And not money-wise, but just is that enough of an incentive? $500,000 to try to go hard for this in an extra game that doesn't count? Or should they, or are there more creative things that you think that they could do to build up the incentives in the future?
What happened to giving free cars when you win stuff? Like
nobody
like
the wants dunk a car. Contest?
No.
I would take a
The Kia.
Who the hell wants a damn Kia?
No. I want a Z06. Like that would be great. And so they'd be like $500,000
every player.
Z06. Those are great cars. I'm just saying. I'm legitimately.
They can go buy a Z06. Like it's not. That's not.
Yeah, but that'd be a free car. Like you ain't got to worry about it. You already got it. So like I said, incentive $500,000. Look, I mean, me? Oh, yeah, that'd be incentive enough. But for them players and for majority of the players, I could actually see that being a good incentive. But I still think that they need to push the envelope more. I have no idea what they would do because these players was like, we just want to get the playoffs. 9 times out of 10, I have no other earthly idea what they can do to push them. I'm done.
He said, I'm done.
He literally said, I'm done.
You look dead at
me. I just want to make sure you're done.
Yeah, I'm done on that.
All right. Because I'm about to say something.
All right.
I think the way we're approaching, the way that generally this is being looked at, is very short-visioned. If you look at the big picture. The big picture here is we just starting off. 500,000 just starting off. If this thing picks up, it's going up. They're trying to figure this out right now. And in their figuring out, they're going to make tweaks. Mm-hmm. And if they, with that, there's going to be bigger and more incentives. As this thing grows, they're not going to get rid of this in 1 year. They're going to test it out for a few years. They have a game plan for this. This thing is going to grow.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point because they'll have some TV deals coming up soon.
You went and, right to my next point.
And this is going to be a nice little shiny new correct. Object.
This is exactly what my next point was. Think about it. Not just TV deals. Streaming deals.
Yes.
Netflix is going to jump in on this.
Amazon.
There's a big paycheck for this shiny new toy that the NBA created. Right? And this is their way of testing it out. And with that shiny new deal, those combos are going to get more and more. Those digits are going to get longer.
But they got to help the players see that vision.
Correct. Oh, they will. The NBA is good at that.
But...
They're really good at that. And then the owners are going to say, oh, how do we get in on this? This is like a locomotive that's left the station. And if it, the only thing they need to figure out, like you said, how do you feed into the ego to make it competitive?
Mm-hmm.
Once that's there, oh, it's a wrap.
Whoa.
It's a wrap. I'm done.
Matthew, please go.
My bad, because the whole time I was like, I forgot to mention something. This isn't the beginning of the season. This is dead in the beginning of the season when they just coming off preseason, and you know, like summer league's been hot right now. Is that's what's fun to watch when I could watch it. I don't know if y'all been watching it, but this is in the beginning of the season when the players are like, ah, we just want to take our time getting it. I just realized that actually this is
right, and the best part about that is it's before all the injuries start settling in. Right later into the season, you're more back to back games. People are more injured, fresh into the season, more players available. Great point.
So I was going to save this for later, but I'll just say it now because that is a great point. And where I took my initial stance of this is stupid, and as I've sat on it and thought it through, I say, you know, I think this actually could be really great. Because if you think about it, what are the key touch points that fans, most fans, not the hardcore fans, but the most casual fans,
casuals, right,
care about in the NBA season? What's the first touch point?
Christmas.
I'm sorry, after kickoff, after opening tip. Opening tip, we, you know, that starts. It's Christmas.
Right.
And then right as soon as Christmas games are over, we're right into, okay, in a couple weeks now we're going to know who's in the All-Star game.
Correct.
And then once the All-Star game is over, then what are we focused on? Now it's the playoff push.
Right.
Right? So, but between opening tip and Christmas,
nobody's
nothing. And at that same time, you've got NFL
right
gearing up for the playoffs, right? The NFL teams are making their push, college football, all of that. Even
the NCAA tournament.
Even the game that they scheduled, right? I mean, the championship game, they scheduled that game on the Saturday between the college football, the last games for college football before they go into bowl season, and the Heisman, the Heisman ceremonies that day, and the whatever the next game or the championship games, the like conference championship games, like they literally scheduled it to be sure that they didn't conflict with those, because that's what most casuals are off to another sport at that time,
right?
Right, so it's actually brilliant that let's make at least some of these games matter,
right,
in the beginning part of the season when before nobody cares about what's happening in November,
right?
Exactly. So that's a great point. But back to incentives. So I think that there's one thing that they could take from baseball that I think would just be, it's not going to be an incentive to every player, but it goes back to pride of teams and divisions and conferences, but they could say whoever wins this tournament, if they're in the East or West, that team, that conference gets home court in the finals. Baseball does a similar thing with the All-Star game. Whoever wins the All-Star game gets home field in the finals. They could do something fun like that, right? Like, they can't guarantee that whoever wins the tournament is going to make the playoffs, so they can't give that person a bye, or that team a bye, or something that would incentivize the team. But there's still pride and conference and whatnot, right? That could be fun.
I was thinking of another one, which that one makes sense, but my whole thing was you can't predict, right, who's going to make it at the end.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I thought that you can do, and it has more probability of you being able to do it, which is you can incentivize a team that they may get, you know, an extra ball in the draft process. If you win this could be an extra, you know, lottery probability to get a chance to get a better pick in the draft.
Or they get an extra draft pick at the end of the first round.
Right. Some sort of that type of incentive that you can guarantee.
Like, you can guarantee it.
Right. So, hey, this would allow the younger teams now, the Magics, right, or the lower teams, right, Detroit, to really go say, oh, you know what? It's an incentive.
Right.
Let's go win this.
I like the idea of the ping pong balls, too, right? You could give them, a couple ping pong balls in a low percentage.
Right.
So you could even have a good team potentially get
But you earned it.
But you earned it, right? It wasn't just because...
Correct.
But you earned those ping pong balls.
Right.
So that's. I think those are some ways that players might care.
And that's more valuable than money per se, especially for owners who are thinking long-term business.
For owners, yeah. But it's still, again, how do you incentivize the players?
Right.
And, but I think if you, I think that there, even though you've got players that are on different teams and divisions, like, I think there still would be a little pride in conference. Even, absolutely, like in the All-Star game, the West, you want to beat the East, right? Like,
right, right.
So if you know that, like, hey, listen, whoever team, whatever team is repping our conference has a potential, like, if you're the 76ers or Boston or Milwaukee, and you got, like, let's say Charlotte is in the championship, right? Like, y'all are rooting for Charlotte to get you,
that's true,
home field, yeah, like home court advantage right, in the, you know what I mean? Yeah, so, like, yeah. I think that would be fun. In my own personal opinion, I think that would be fun.
This may also stir up a further rivalry here between Ken and I, considering he's wearing a Hawks shirt, right?
Here we go.
Like, if, because we always talk about who's going to get a chip first, right? Luka or Trey. Here we go with the, we can get into the cup situation. Who got a cup first?
So that's a great transition, because that was the other thing that I had a hard time with when I first heard it. And I'm still having a hard time seeing how this is going to play out, is in terms of this now being used as a new accolade.
Mm-hmm.
And how is that going to be? Because I think the first team to win this is going to get, they're just going to get ragged on. Like,
whatever.
It's going to be comical.
Listen,
right?
Someone's got to pioneer it.
Especially if it ends up being like the Lakers or some shit. Like, hey, you know, oh, there's LeBron. He can win the cup, but he can't win the chip.
Haters going to hate.
But my point, though, is going to,
I love your optimism.
But my point, though, is getting to, like, are we going to find ourselves in a position where now fans are arguing in addition to rings, and now there's conference MVPs, right?
Right.
In the conference, right, final MVPs, which there weren't before.
Right.
Like, now we have all these new trophies, participation, not really participation.
It's not participation.
They own it. But you know what I'm saying? Like, now we've got, we're creating all these different accolades, new accolades, that in the grand scheme of it, are we going to be having these, like, in, say, like, 15 years? And we're like, oh, well, you know, Luka won 4 rings. Or no, LeBron won, you know, 4 rings. But Luka won 2 rings. But Luka had 5 NBA cups. And if Bron would have been in that era, he would have had the cut. Like,
so,
you know what I mean?
This is a great point, because I was thinking, when you were telling me about the 15-year thing, my initial thought went to, so Kobe could have been in this.
Right.
That's what I was thinking. Oh, Kobe, KG. Mm-hmm. Right? That whole era of Allen Iverson, T-Mac, Tim Duncan, they all could have been part of this era of the cup, right, cup finals.
Right.
And that could have played into their Hall of Fame, you know, narrative.
And this, so that's the thing, will it?
All I see with that question is this. This is just another opportunity for not new media, for old media, to clickbait the out of everybody and give their own biased opinions, and just inundate the internet with their nonsense. And then also the players coming through and saying, you know, whatever they feel about this thing. This is more... All I see is just more clicking and more content and more that coming out of this.
See, I wasn't even thinking of it from that perspective. I was thinking how annoying the debates are going to be about
which were the fans
who's
pick
the
up?
Greatest, because it's going to go to, well, if Jordan had been in the NBA Cup, then he would have won every single one. Like, he would have been 6-0. Are we going to start having those debates now?
Well, then that's like saying, oh, let's create the 4-point line. The 4-pointer.
It'll probably come at some point.
Because there wasn't ever a 3-pointer.
Right.
They had to create it.
Right.
And then that probably stirred up issues too, right? Because this is going to change records.
Right.
Now today we're celebrating Curry.
Right.
Curry wouldn't have been Curry without a 3-point line.
Well, right, man, you are shooting from the 4-point line.
Correct. But that's what I mean, right? So everything that's new is going to be challenged and met with skepticism. Mm-hmm. We don't like change. But I love it. Please color way outside the lines.
All right. So going back, they're already doing the accolades. And this is my favorite one. So I work in a school system. Jesus Christ. So
get, he gotta get it together, bro.
From God, the from the front.
From the front. Yeah, there you go.
Jesus Christ. All right. Get to the point.
So, to get to the point.
I already work in the school system, and I don't know if you heard this argument yet. Ken, you should have by now, because you work. I don't, you don't have a gaming system, but you know what the kids said to me. I said, "Man, I'm a Jordan and LeBron fan." They said, "LeBron's better." I said, "Why? He's in Fortnite." I was like, "Is that the only accolade?" And these, and there's some middle schoolers that are still doing that. Now, these, we're talking about we're talking about grown men, and these kids are going to be growing up. So the way that they're going to be looking at it, it's like, man, they got the cup. LeBron didn't get the cup, but Luka got the cup. And it's going to be like, am I making sense to y'all? Because your
face, yeah, it's just a general, yeah, it'll be a generational thing.
And I was just like, the accolades thing, yeah, it's going to be. Like I said earlier, 10 years before anybody realized it'd be like, no, this is going to be a great product. Maybe take less than that, but
it'll take time.
Yeah.
Like my youngest one, he's 3 years old, but to him, Kobe is his Jordan. Like he's already saying Kobe this, Kobe that, and he sees all these videos of it. He doesn't see Jordan. Jordan videos don't rise to the top of the search field. So for him, it's Kobe.
Yeah,
just like Curry is, or Paul George apparently is, the second pick of, you know, the Hornets. Was it Brandon Miller? His GOAT.
Yeah, I don't know. I hope that we don't run into a situation where people start putting too much value on the cup and less value on
it's going to happen eventually.
And people are like, yeah, well, your team won the championship, or my team won the NBA Cup. I mean, what are we talking about here? But you're right. It's those arguments are bound to happen. So, yeah. Something else you brought up earlier, I wanted to touch on, because I think this is a really critical piece of it, is the 83rd game, right? And that championship game is not counted into the regular season standing stats, whatever. Right, so there's not going to be, you know, oh, somebody is, you know, in the NBA record books,
right,
undefeated in cup games, right? But there are two teams every season that are going to have to play an 83rd game. And when you think about the fact that the players have been trying to get the season shortened,
right,
load management, all this stuff, now we're adding an extra game? Like, how's that going to go over, especially with the players?
I don't know about the players, but as a fan, I'm good with it. I love it.
There's no such thing as too much
There's
basketball.
There's no such thing as too much basketball. Correct. Listen, we just had a 4.5-hour clinic the other day, right? There's no such thing as too much basketball. I do think, though, taking the stats away may be touchy, right? Because what if you have a career game in the finals of the cup? Like, Giannis having a 50-point game in the finals. If that happened in the cup and they don't count it,
yeah,
you know what I mean. Right. And then also as an owner,
well, it's like
now I'm thinking, what if he gets injured? Now what?
So again, that's where we get into what's going to happen in that championship game, where anything can happen.
Correct. And these guys are going all out.
Especially
if the incentive is good enough.
We got a game that what quote unquote meaningless game.
But it's not
on the schedule. I think, to me, that's the only part where I think that they messed up on, and hopefully they'll address. Because if somebody's gonna get hurt, they should at least get hurt for attempting to be in a game that counts in the standings.
Although, on the flip side, there'll be some players say, "Oh, well, they got to play an extra game to get those stats up, right?" So that, but then again, they earned to be there. Correct. Earned the right to be there. But that might be the other side of the, you know, the devil's advocate side. Oh, well, you got to play an extra game to build those stats up.
And I think that argument has less weight than
correct.
Somebody getting injured in a game that doesn't matter. Or
agreed.
Or the two teams are going to play it like how they used to play the All-Star game.
Oh, God. A dunk contest?
Because nobody wants to get injured. Right. So why are they going to be, I mean... Dunk, right. I mean, in the All-Star game, they're playing for money, too. No. Not quite as much.
Wait a minute. No. Watch what happens. Watch the bench players rise up.
Oh, yeah. They're going to start the bench players.
They're going to get the 12th man.
But that's not what the NBA wants to do.
Right.
The NBA doesn't want to start the 12th man. They want to see the stars in there because they want people to tune in because they want to get them TV deals.
But correct. At the same time, it's just like, I mean.
So there's going to be pressure from the league to the teams, to the players, to like, we need y'all to play.
Well, wait till there's fines given out if players don't, you know, conform.
I don't think the, was it the NBA?
The CBA?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
They're going to let that.
I'm just saying this is again a test. You know, they're testing this out. It's a first time in, so they got a. It's a trial and error at this point,
which is why I really believe that it needs to count. Like, so at least if somebody, you know, at least if they get injured, it was in a game that like
counted. It mattered
like any other game, right? Right. That's the only misstep in my opinion that I think that they had.
Okay,
but I think it's a real concern. I mean, and on top of that. Once they played them 82 games, the teams that go deep into the playoffs, like, they're tired.
They're tired
by the time this comes around. So you're talking about one more game. And will that one more game for those two teams facilitate more load management in the weeks after?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Are they going to miss two, three, four games?
Right, because so of
they
that.
Can recover just because of that one game.
It's a good point.
Man,
so the one thing I really do like about this, that they're moving it to Vegas, right? The last two games, which means that no home court advantage, which is almost like that. It's like a pseudo bubble-ish type environment.
Yep.
And they're going to be playing in a new bubble.
And I love that it's, again, that other, you don't have your home crowd.
Right.
So you really got to really dive deep inside yourself and really compete here, because you're going to have basically fans from all over the place coming to attend those type of games.
Yeah.
Especially the locals.
Well, you know, I think this is the continued setup for is a team in Vegas.
Yeah.
There is I think every other professional franchise now has a team in Vegas except for the NBA.
Mm.
The Vegas Raiders are out there. WNBA has the...
Baseball has one?
No,
baseball does not baseball have one. You're right. So baseball and basketball are the only two.
Right.
Because you got WNBA out there, you got the Knights for NHL, you got the Raiders. Yeah, everybody got one except for those two. And so I believe this is the next step for them is if they end up expanding out.
No, they do have a team. It's USA Basketball.
Well, but so but their roots have been in Vegas for a while. Summer League has been there since like 2004.
Right.
They do the USA Basketball training there. They've done a
lot
of things.
Almost like their neutral ground.
So I think this is a setup for Vegas to just a continued, like, we're going to keep putting basketball in Vegas because we can draw crowds and we want to prove that we want to show that, like, we can get a franchise here.
Yeah.
Because if they need to add two, if they had one, they got it too, right?
Correct.
So if they had two, there's two very clear places you can add one, Vegas and Seattle, you're going to get fans, like,
immediate.
You're
going to
have
support.
No problem filling those stadiums.
Right.
So I 100. Definitely think that all of that plays into them wanting this to be successful.
You know what sucks about that? There won't be any Eastern Conference teams added.
No. Well,
that makes two Western Conference teams. Wait.
Well,
they would have to balance
it
out somehow.
Realign two teams from that are borderline, like maybe Memphis.
Memphis, probably.
Yeah. Right.
That team is going to be number one if they came in the East.
Who? Memphis?
Yeah.
Stop it.
I'm not kidding.
Stop it.
Oh, we'll get into that on another episode if that ever happens. But, all right. So, in the few minutes remaining, let me put out. So, we talked about the, you know, the good, bad, and ugly about the potential of the tournament. There's a lot of opportunity for the NBA to make this great. But for us as fans just watching now, we've got the brackets. We know what the groups are. Mm. I want to know from y'all, what in the West and what in the East are the toughest brackets?
Mm.
I know what my picks are.
So I'm going to say this, the funniest bracket is East B.
So what teams those are?
Those are the Bucks, the Knicks, the Heat, Wizards, and Hornets.
Mm.
And the reason why I say it's the funniest, nobody wants to see the Heat. That's all I want to say.
Mm.
Nobody. If you're a Buck fan, you definitely don't want to see the Heat. You definitely don't want to see the Heat.
You don't fear the deer?
They need to fear the barbecue that they got. Okay. Lord have mercy.
Yeah, they did. They
got
smoked.
Barbecue. Mm. Have you had barbecue venison before? Lord, man, it's some good food. Mm. Listen, East A, definitely the Hawks.
Woo!
My surprise, the Cavs.
No, so I'm talking about the whole group.
The whole group?
Like, which is the toughest group to get out of?
It would probably be Western Conference A. West A.
West A?
West A and what? And East what?
So while he's thinking, so West A is Memphis, Phoenix, the Lakers, Jazz, and Blazers.
I don't see nobody really coming out of the East. Ain't no
Well, somebody got to come out.
The I mean, no, right? Like a tough conference. Like,
all right, so for me, I'll say EC will be the hardest to get out of.
Boston, and Nets, Toronto, the Bulls, and the Magic.
Yes, so. And the easiest to get out of, I think, is East A. I think Cavs are.
You gotta remember that these are not the Kyrie Irving KD Nets.
You're right. It's the Darius Garland.
And
Darius Garland is nice.
No, the Nets. I'm talking about the Nets.
I said East A.
No, I'm talking about on East C for you for oh, them being
East
tough.
East C.
Yeah, the Nets. These are not your.
You're right.
And that's then you got the Magic and the Bulls.
Here's what's messing me up. I do want to say East B, but what's messing me up is I see the Wizards. And that just throws everything off.
Let's just be real. The toughest group in East is going to be A. The 76ers, the Cavs, the Hawks. The Pacers are going to be better with Halliburton. And then you got the Pistons who are just going to be happy to
I don't know because the Bucks, Knicks, and Heat all made the playoffs.
So did the 76ers, Cavs,
Nobody
Hawks.
Wants to see the Heat. Like, dude, I don't care what anybody says.
But if you look at it, I'll take the Pacers alone over the Wizards and Hornets.
Listen, I'll take RU's team over the Wizards.
West side.
West is E. I think I'm in agreement. It's A. It's got to be A.
It's A. Although I do like C. I do like C.
C but will be a fun one.
Because I really want to see a Wemby.
C has the Kings, the Warriors, the Wolves, the Thunder,
like that's and a the Spurs. That's a young group. That's four young teams right
now. It'll be a fun one, but I just... There's not four tough teams in there. There's at least four tough teams. And
who's the fourth team?
The Jazz. Yeah. They're tough.
Did they make the playoffs?
No, it didn't matter.
You know how stacked the West was last year? They were right there.
And Jazz came out fire in the beginning of the season.
They always come out fire.
No. They were good until what? February?
Listen, legitimate. Like, Jazz are a great before playoff team.
No.
So we're talking about November to December. Tournament.
Jazz is going to be tough.
And Portland.
Okay, they'll be the cup.
So here we go. Here we go with devaluing the accolade,
you know,
right?
You know what would be the funniest devaluation? The Wolves. I feel bad for Ant Edwards.
Why?
Carl Anthony Towns, I'll get a cup. You're like, baby, I want a cup. Nah, bro. Just sit down. You ain't can't win no playoffs.
I think we're all in agreement. So let me ask the final question. Who do you see where we are now? There's still a lot of offseason to go. We can still see some player movement. But who do you predict is going to win this tournament? Just an early prediction based off of where we are
today.
That's
tough.
It's one team.
Especially not knowing the mentality players have as a whole towards this. That's a really tough question.
I know it's a tough question.
I'm going West A.
I'm saying Suns.
I'm gonna ride out with the Suns on this one.
What about the champs?
Denver?
What about the champs? Are we really gonna just forget them like that?
I honestly think that they would chill out.
Because think about it, they have an easy road through that B.
They do, but again...
Right, they have an easier road through B, so technically, they have a good probability to get there and even beat a Suns.
They have a great probability, but at the same time...
Like, you tell me out of all those teams, who's going to beat them right now?
The Clippers, Pelicans, Mavs, and Rockets.
None
of them.
Well, the Clippers, their whole team is going to be on load management. Zion is going to be out there in the streets. Kyrie gonna be doing Kyrie things, and the Rockets are just young, you know.
Nah, but
I mean, Fred VanVleet will be out there balling though.
I'm sticking with the Suns though. They're serious.
All right, so you got Suns, heck.
It's tough, man. I really want to go. I want to see how the Dubs come through. Like, I want to know what Steph's mentality is through this thing. But I'm gonna go with Nuggets.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the Nuggets.
I almost went with the Nuggets. I didn't want to go with them because they're like they just won a title. It's a obvious choice. But they are. So I was thinking it's got to be a team that generally like starts the season well, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And they generally do, right? They generally start off the season pretty well. But so I'm torn between the Heat and Boston, but I think I'm going to give it to Boston if they keep all the rest of their pieces together. Because, again, this is another team that generally start off strong. Yeah.
Wait, who's Boston's point?
Who's Boston's point? They got Jaylen Brown and Tatum right now.
They all have a point.
They got rid of Marcus Smart for...
Yeah.
Yeah, but so they... But I'm just saying that I still think they're a tough team. I mean, they're not going to fall off just because they traded Marcus Smart.
Well, the other thing I do think, though, we may have a sleeper where because it's an early season, like the young mm-hmm. fellas are really going to come out like smoking.
So who's your sleeper?
Firing. I'm thinking somebody from West C. OKC or
the Wolves?
Sack maybe, but more so the Wolves.
The Wolves?
Mm-mm. Yeah, okay. Nope. OKC if Chet stays healthy. But I'm going with one of those two teams.
The Wolves? Wait, Karl Anthony Towns?
Okay, Ant's nice, man.
I'm going to go.
And even De'Aaron Fox is nice.
But they got Towns.
I'm going to go with.
But then you got the Rockets too, right?
I'm going to go with the Knicks because the Cup is the only thing they're ever going to win.
My man might not be welcome to New York. You might get that F. Trae Young.
Hey, you know, he loves it. He loves it. So, but no, I mean, it's got a potential. I mean, just looking at it, it should be fun. It's gonna be interesting to keep track of which games are tournament games, and counting and you know following the standings on that, which is gonna have to be kept separately. But it's gonna be.
I was really hoping Hornets would be in another group because. I love their announcer, and I just want to hear more of him. Just, oh my God!
I would have loved if the Hornets were swapped with Detroit, and it was the Sixers, Cavs, Hawks, Pacers, and Hornets. That'd be a tough bracket.
Yeah,
that'd be a real tough bracket. So, but it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be interesting.
See how it goes.
So, any parting thoughts on the in-season tournament?
You know what? I need to say this back. Memphis ain't gonna go anywhere for a while. I forgot Ja Morant is suspended. That just ruined my chances of seeing a good beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So other than that, nope, still going with the Suns.
Okay. No, I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm excited, and let's go.
Yep. I'm actually gonna. So, in the early season, when basketball starts up early season, I'm still really into football at that point.
Right.
But I still follow generally, you know, what the standings are and everything. But now I have a reason to tune in, like legit to tune in that I maybe didn't have as much other than the occasional Hawks game that I would tune into. But now I like that some of those matchups early season are going to be a little bit more fun, especially
when, more viewership.
Especially it's going to be less in a group. But more in the knockout, like those, like once the knockout round comes and those eight teams play, those games are going to be, those games are the ones that are going to be fun. Yes. And then of course the semis and
especially
and
the single elimination.
The group concept. Is like okay, that's cool, that's cute, but once they get to the knockouts, that's when shit's going to get real.
Yes,
like shit's going to get real.
Yes,
so
all right,
but I'm just I'm glad that I had time to sit on this. Like I said earlier, we didn't talk on it because. Originally, I did think that it was stupid, and now I'm like you. I'm like, bring it on, color outside the lines, and let's see how this goes. And I'm confident that they'll be able to kind of tweak it over time, and hopefully this will become a mainstay, and hopefully it'll be fun. And also, too, hopefully the players will understand that this is, like, something fun that the fans might want, right? They might enjoy.
Right.
Right? Get us interested in basketball before Christmas Day.
Correct.
And even on that, there's limited teams that even get the chance to play on Christmas Day. So, in this case, there's interest in what every team is doing. So, hopefully we'll see that, and hopefully they'll execute well.
Yeah.
We'll have to revisit this sometime in mid-December.
Absolutely.
And see how the first NBA in-season tournament, the first NBA Cup, the inaugural, see how that goes.
Yeah.
All right, fellas. All right. Appreciate y'all for tuning in. Until next time. Peace.
Peace.